Welcome to this episode of Leaders Building Bandwidth. And today we're talking about discovering your manager type. You would have taken the quiz, what type of manager are you? And if you haven't done so yet, head to the show notes and you're going to see a link there where you can take the quiz, or you can go to rosalieaudouin.com/manager-quiz and you'll be able to take the quiz there as well. So I created the manager type quiz because I know from my work with hundreds of leaders that the better you know your tendencies, the way that you're wired, the more effective you are going to be in every single area of your life. I remember the first time that I was coached, and the coach used an assessment tool to help me unpack why I was stuck and my tendencies around that. And the session literally changed my life. And so that's why I built this quiz. And what I did is that I used the DISC framework, which is a popular behavioral assessment tool that categorizes people into 4 primary personality profiles. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about that so that you can understand the legitimacy of the quiz. So DISC is widely used in various settings, such as workplace environments and personal development, to foster a better understanding and communication between individuals. And there are 4 different personality profiles or types. The first one is dominance, which is in our quiz, the commander. The second one, influence, which in our quiz is the enthusiast. The third one is steadiness, which in our quiz is the anchor. And the fourth is conscientiousness, which in our quiz is the strategist. The intent of the DISC framework is, and any other framework, by the way, is not to pigeonhole people or to limit the understanding of how a person is wired. And it's the complete opposite. It's to expand it. And it provides a language for discussing individual differences, right? It provides a language for presenting different perspectives in a constructive way. And it also allows for more effective team building, for leadership development, for personal growth, because it helps you understand not just how people behave, but why they might behave in a certain way inside of different environments, okay? So this is really important to understand. Now, let's talk about the DISC model. It was developed by a gentleman called William Moulton Marston. He was a psychologist with a PhD from Harvard University. And Marston is also known for his contribution to the invention of the polygraph, you know, we know it as the lie detector. And he also is the creator of the Wonder Woman comics, which used to be my favorite character when I was growing up. He introduced the concept of DISC in his book, which was called Emotions of Normal People, and it was published in 1928. So he basically theorized that the behavior of normal people reflects their emotions, and that these behaviors could be categorized into 4 primary types. Each one is associated with a certain emotional response. So in his model, he basically had 2 foundational observations about human emotions and behaviors. Number one, that people perceived their environment in terms of whether it is favorable or unfavorable. And number 2, that people respond to their environment in 2 distinct ways, which is actively or passively. Moulton created this tool based on his observations and the research that he carried. And actually, he didn't do an assessment with these observations. The actual DISC assessment that we know today was further developed in the 40s and 50s by another industrial psychologist who basically created the whole assessment framework, and he considered more behavior than attributes across the board, like workplace preferences, communication styles, how people handle conflict, and leadership style. So basically, this framework is the masterpiece of one man, then the expansion of this masterpiece by someone else. And it just creates a starting point. The reason why I love it is because it frames conversation. It provides language for how things should be perceived, discussed, etc. And then from that starting point, then we can, you know, zoom into specifics and personalities, and we can discuss someone's individual's performance and how people show up. So let's talk about each one of the personalities and how they show up. So the commander is naturally the type of person who will take the spotlight, and they have an assertive presence. They're very decisive and they show up as a driving force. They're not afraid to tackle challenges, and they lead their teams with victory. And they're confident and they're courageous, and their confidence is contagious, and they have the ability to make tough decisions quickly, and they're admired by those around them. If you're the commander, this is absolutely you. The three words that I pick for the commander is commanding, bold, and assertive. Now, there are a few things to watch out for when you're a commander. So the first one is, I always say, be mindful of not coming across as aggressive and dismissive. Watch out for not listening to the output of others, which can isolate team members. Watch out for missing the emotional cues of your colleagues, potentially when you're leading, when people feel like they're being dismissed or that they're not taking into consideration. It really does lead to people losing their engagement. The fourth thing is, watch out for focusing solely on results, because sometimes when you're too focused on results, then you can lead your team to burnout and dissatisfaction. You have to learn how to work and play. Again, you know, be aware of cues when people are tired, when people need a break. When you're the boss, many times people do not ask you for a break, and you need to be able to see those cues and to act upon them. Also, ensure that your drive for success doesn't overshadow the collective effort. Now, let's talk about the enthusiasm. You show up as the team's activator. You spark creativity and encouragement, and you encourage people to be open in their communication. You're open in your communication. You're positive. You're persuasive in nature. And you help to foster a dynamic and inclusive work environment. And working with enthusiasts is always a delight. Now, things you need to watch out for is to be overly optimistic. Sometimes when you're too optimistic, people feel like you're not very realistic, right? You don't have realistic expectations. And that can be discouraging for some people. Watch out for your desire for interaction, because, you know, it shouldn't distract you or other people from getting the work done. As a social being, this might be a challenge. Ensure that your enthusiasm doesn't overpower quieter colleagues. In meetings, if you're excited and you're talking and you're expressing your opinion, and it's great, but there are some people on your team that are not as enthusiastic as you. And so if you don't give them an opportunity for feedback and for contribution, you're going to miss out on their valuable feedback as well. Make sure you balance your social nature with focused, independent work when it's necessary. And then avoid letting the need for the positive environment to prevent you from addressing serious issues. Because one of the big things of the enthusiast is that you're so excited, you like the positive stuff, and sometimes you need to address other things. And if you avoid them, then it creates bigger problems. And the three words for the enthusiast is vibrant, engaging, and persuasive. Let's talk about the anchor. So the three words for the anchor is empathetic, consistent, and supportive. Anchors show up as the bedrock of their team. They provide consistent support and a calming presence. As an anchor, you show up as a dependable colleague who everyone knows will deliver stable and reliable results. Your patience and your ability to maintain harmony are your superpowers in the workplace and in your personal life as well. Now, things that you need to watch out for: avoid becoming so accommodating that your own needs and contributions are overlooked. Don't let your preference for routine stifle opportunities for growth or change. It's great for you to let yourself try new things and be exposed to new experiences, because it will enhance your experience and your capacity. Ensure that your conflict avoidance doesn't lead to unresolved issues, which again, when you don't solve issues, they become bigger. Putting them under the carpet only makes them worse in the long run. Balance your supporting role with initiatives that put you in a leadership position, because it's very easy for you to be supportive and to be alongside someone else. But the reality is that you also have the power to take the lead, and you will do that in a very unique way. So allow yourself the opportunity and the chance to be put in that position. And remember that being visible doesn't mean being loud. It means being recognized for your invaluable consistency and support. And as a anchor, there are very specific ways for you to be visible without feeling inauthentic or without having to become someone else, right? You can be visible in a way that suits your personality, and it's absolutely remarkable. All right, let's talk about the strategist. The three words for the strategist: wise, precise, and observant. And as a strategist, you show up as an intellectual powerhouse. You're the fountain of knowledge and wisdom. You turn complex visions into actionable plans, right? Your natural tendency towards thorough analysis and attention to detail really ensures that projects under your guidance are well-structured, they're executed flawlessly. Your methodical approach is really a beacon of reliability, inspiring confidence in your leadership. And as a strategist, the things that you need to avoid is to become overly focused on detail, which is a strength, but really can lead to analysis paralysis. The second thing to watch out for is to ensure that your communication style is not too technical or complex for non-specialist audiences or for non-specialist members of your team. Keep it simple. Practice keeping things simple. Be wary of becoming too rigid in your planning, allowing room for creativity and adaptability. Remember, not everyone is as detailed as you. Not everyone is as structured as you, right? So allow some space for the ones who are not that way. Remember that relationships are crucial. So balance your strategic focus with interpersonal engagements. And this can be a little bit challenging because a lot of anchors are like, I'm here to do the job, I'm doing the job. But the reality is that your success in life, in business, is also linked to how well you can interact with other people. And you build that, you do that in your own special way. But I just want to encourage you to open your eyes to it and to be mindful of the fact that you should be strategic about your relationships as well. And lastly, monitor for signs of burnout due to your intense focus and dedication to your work. A lot of strategists have a tendency to burn out because your work ethic is so intense and focused that sometimes you don't realize that you actually need some time of fun and relaxation. And that is what will fuel your level of focus, right? The more relaxed you are, the more focused you can be. The more relaxed you are, the better you can flow in your strategy and in your thinking capabilities. So again, we have built this quiz. The purpose of the quiz is to give you a starting point into this journey of self-discovery, which is so crucial for you when you're leading, when you're at the forefront of a team, of an organization, even of your life, because it opens up this door for creating language around what you need, around what you need to be supported, around the way that you see the world. And that will really help you be more effective in your work, but more importantly, in your personal life. I hope you found this episode helpful and insightful. Again, if you have any comments or feedback, I would love to hear it. If you go to the show notes, there is a form there for you to leave me some feedback. The other thing I was going to say is, if you love this episode, I would absolutely love you to leave me on a review on Apple Podcasts, because that will really help us get more people to discover the show. All right, bye for now.